Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on the 27th of May, 2025. Good morning, I'm Ian DeEubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Coming up today on the news, Eric Pfeiffer checks in with another Crop Tour Tuesday, and that one again brings us a mix of planting progress from different parts of Indiana. You'll hear from a number of different farmers. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin will detail some rains that will begin to lurk around Indiana, and the markets were closed for Memorial Day yesterday. But we'll still get some thoughts from analyst John Zanker. Coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at FFBT.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
Planting progress remains varied around the state. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. USDA's crop progress report won't be out until this afternoon, delayed one day because of the Memorial Day holiday. But we can check progress around the state with the farmers we've been following throughout the planting season on Hoosier Ag Today's Crop Tour Tuesday. Let's start in West Central Indiana, where Ryan Rippey has been done planting now for a couple of weeks, but he had some very important business to take care of to start this week.
After watching the Indy 500, the kids challenged me to a Mario Kart Grand Prix. I won't say who won this morning, but I'll say that Alex Plow and I might have more in common than you might think. Getting ready to head out and look at the later planted corn and soybeans on our farm. Just make sure that the stand's established good with the hopes that everything's looking good and we can get both the corn and bean planters dropped and cleaned up and put away later on in the week. Also planning on starting post-herbicide applications on corn, hopefully tomorrow.
As we head east to Delaware County, Jenna Scott explains that they've been doing more than just planting crops on Cox Farms in Gaston, Indiana.
We were fortunate to get our corn crop in before the rains put us back out of the field with only about 5% of our beans planted. But we took that opportunity to host Director Don Lamb here at our greenhouses, where he took a look at the devastation we experienced after the April 2nd tornado we had, and talked to us a little bit about how our greenhouses provide plants for producers throughout the Midwest and how we impact Indiana's agriculture landscape. We were happy to host him and speak about the challenges that row cropping farmers experience, as well as specialty farmers experience, and we're happy to have good conversations with him. We're hoping to get back into the fields today and get a lot of our soybeans done, but we'll see how it dries up. Hopefully this week will be good to us and we can get a lot done.
Denise Scarborough is in northwest Indiana's LaPorte County, where their commercial corn and soybeans have all been planted.
We were very blessed last week and received about an inch of rain that was very much needed, so it gave us a little time off in the fields, but we are back at it this weekend, trying to get some male and female rows of seed corn planted and hopefully wrap things up within the next week or two.
And last but not least, let's head south to DuBois County. Ferdinand, Indiana is where we find J.R. Raisner, where he and others have been feeling a bit behind.
This past week, we did have some more rain that kept us out of the field until late in the week. We were able to get back in the field over the weekend here. We are getting close to finishing planting. Hopefully a few more days and we will have planting wrapped up. We also began side dressing and nitrogen on the corn, and also doing a little bit of post spraying. Crops here look pretty good for the most part that are up. Just hopefully we continue to get good weather throughout the growing season.
We're certainly hoping for that too, JR. You can be sure to follow Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast at HoosierAgToday.com. And you heard Ryan mention it, Alex Pillow, the big winner of the Indy 500, and he took that big swig of milk at the end of the race in Victory Circle from Abby Herr, Indiana dairy farmer. Here's what he had to say about it.
I have to tell you, it was the best milk I've ever had. It was super sweet. I don't know if they put anything in it, but it tastes so well.
For the Spaniard Pillow, he decided to drink the milk instead of pour it all over himself. He even shared some with his wife and daughter. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're going to see a little bit of a pattern change here today. We're watching a significant weather system that actually was trying to exit the Central Plains yesterday and last night move eastward. It's got two waves, a southern feature, a southern wave that is already well in advance to the east, pushing across parts of Kentucky and Tennessee this morning. We're feeling the effects of that in southern Indiana as well, with plenty of clouds around and a few renegade showers popping in. I think it's a better chance of showers trying to build into southern Indiana this afternoon and evening. And then overnight tonight, the northern part of this feature comes through the Hoosier State, and that features showers and thunderstorms, which will end up getting about 60 to 70% of the state. Right now, I'm going to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch of precipitation with coverage around that 60 to 70%. Everything's done by probably midday tomorrow, although clouds may not break up right away. Going into Thursday and Friday, we turn out partly sunny and dry. Moisture wants to sit a little farther to our north. That moisture tries to rotate back down through Michigan, probably Friday afternoon to Friday night. It's enough to give us some clouds and maybe a few spits and sprinkles. I don't think it's going to be big moisture, but northern Indiana and northwest Ohio can see a tenth or two. That leads to a mostly dry then weekend. By Saturday midday, we are partly to mostly sunny. Cool again, but pleasant. Sunday nice as well. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, mostly dry. Overnight Wednesday night into Thursday, weak frontal boundary sags through, a few scattered showers there. Coverage only about 60%, up to half an inch. And then we're a little unsettled through the balance of the week, but still seeing more dry air than anything else. That's going to be for the 6th, 7th, and 8th. I think our next strong frontal boundary may not show up until well into the week of the 9th, and even there, it's not a super organized pass-through front by any stretch. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
A sell-off going into a three-day weekend. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have final numbers momentarily. The update is brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Don't get stuck in the mud this spring. Make sure you're getting enough rest and coping with stress in healthy ways. Get more at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. They are here to help. Brian Basting, economist with Advanced Trading, joined me on the Market Review late in the Friday session to comment on what might have caused that Friday sell-off. Heading into the three-day holiday weekend, it was a sell-off in corn, beans, and wheat. Actually, a lot of commodities in the stock market lower as well. And Brian, it seemed to start with the Trump tariff threat announcement, a couple of them on Friday morning. Was there an impact on grains and oilseeds?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I do believe there was a direct impact there. Of course, ahead of the holiday weekend, a lot of uncertainty as usual. But the fact that Europe has always been a significant buyer of U.S. products, including beans, and this year, Andy, corn, is important as we look ahead to the remainder of the 24-25 crop year and 25-26. Enough to spur some profit taking. We've seen both markets make some multi-week highs here when the news came out. So some profit taking, I think, emerged on the back of that news, Andy. And we'll see what happens here as we enter the last few days of May and get ready to turn the calendar over to June. But that could be an important development because, like I said, Europe is a major buyer of U.S. products.
Were you pleased overall with the action during the week up until that point?
Yeah, we've seen a nice comeback, Andy, in old crop corn futures, for example. We saw the July contract nudge above 460 a bushel there last week. You really have to go back to the beginning of May to see prices that high. And so we've continued to see active export business, both sales and shipments, as we wind down the crop year. Of course, we still got 3 months to go, but the U.S. remains a primary shop in town in the world now as Ukraine supplies begin to wind down. Very little left in Brazil ahead of their harvest, which will start in July and August. But I think that the U.S. will continue to be the primary supplier of corn for the next 2 to 3 months. And so that's given a boost to old crop corn futures, old crop bean futures. July, looking at that price, nudging back above 1070 a bushel last week. So that's near the highest prices we've been since February. So the bean export market has also been stronger than expected. I wouldn't necessarily say it's been as strong as corn, but given the fact that Brazil just harvested their biggest bean crop ever, the strength of the bean market in the U.S. has been pleasantly surprising. So I think those factors have supported old crop beans and old crop corn. We're just getting into the growing season, if you want to consider Memorial Day the unofficial kickoff to summer, Andy. So a lot of unknowns ahead of us. I think we're just looking at a mixed planting season here. In Eastern Belt, your neighbors to the east here in Ohio have struggled a bit with planting their corn, for example. And you go further west, and some of those areas have really been a bit dry until recently. So kind of a mixed bag all across. But overall, I think it's a good start overall to the growing season. And that's kept a lid on new crop prices.
Could those planting issues eventually be a major market, I'll say mover, and how soon could we see that really start to materialize?
They could. I think the first thing we'll see, Andy, is the June 30th acreage report. That'll give us their final, as such, updated acreage, I should say, for the 2025 planting. Back there in March, we got a very stout 5 million acre increase in corn and a significant decrease in bean acres. I still think we're going to be close to that March acreage on corn. Most were thinking, Andy, that we're going to see a higher number 30 days ago compared to that March number. But with the struggle we've had with getting this last 30% of the corn planted, I question whether it's going to be much of an increase. It still could be a little increase. So yes, that'd be the first variable. Second variable is this very cool start to the growing season has slowed us down on growing degree units. So maybe this crop isn't going to pollinate if we're specifically looking at corn quite as early as we thought. Now, we can catch up quite a bit in June if we were to really get warm, but definitely a slow start in terms of maturity of the crop. So that pushes pollination back maybe a week or two, potentially further back into July, when, as your listeners know, we can get into some hot, dry weather. So yes, I would say the ingredients for volatility are there as we enter the 2025 growing season with uncertainty about acreage and, of course, a little bit of a slow start to the actual growth of the 2025 corn and beans, pushing that growing development perhaps back a bit further into those warmest days and potentially driest days of the summer. So I'm sure there'll be some twists and turns in 2025, Andy, and I'd really encourage your listeners to remain flexible as possible but use every marketing tool at their disposal to defend their balance sheet.
And that's analysis from economist Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, off the lows by the close, but still down in corn, beans, and wheat. July corn, 459.5, 3.5 cents lower. September down 3.25, 437.75. December, 450.75, a loss of 2.5 cents. July beans, 1060.25, 7.25 lower. August, 6.5 down, 1056. And November, 1050.5, just about a nickel down. July wheat, 542.5, 2 cents lower. The meats were quiet and mixed. June live cattle up 17 cents, 215.80. And June lean hogs, 98.30, down 40 cents. I'm Andy Eubank, and that is the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.